Kia ora. It is 9:59 on the 23rd of November. It's a Monday morning. Oh my goodness, I sound like a rock DJ. My little dog is here. She has a shaky collar, so you might hear her. Anyway, I am on this beautiful sunny Monday about to travel out to Porirua, which has been declared a transitional economic zone of Aotearoa. It's a teaser for the week. This is kind of an exciting week for me. Teaser is a platform that sort of gets a group of visiting artists to work to see how they might best contribute to a region so that they can recognise the strengths existent in that community and how they might make visible understanding of its history and grounding. So what happens is, these visiting artists kind of take over a community. Well, I don't know, sort of put themselves inside the community. What's that called? Weave themselves in. And they sort of help create things that might not be recognised in the current economic system. So, yes, it's very exciting. During the teaser already, it's been going, I think, since Sunday. I think Sunday was the first day. There's been all sorts of exciting things created already. Some kids are putting together a film. There's been some great tours. There's been some great conversations. Teaser artists were at the markets yesterday. So yeah, and as part of Teaser this year, there's a project running called the Porirua People's Library, where we are working towards creating content for a library for the people, by the people, that kind of thing. And I'm taking a very small part of it. I'm running a workshop tomorrow and the next day called the Made Up Times, where I'm going to go to Cobham Court. Hopefully the weather will be good. That's in the middle of the mall. And I'm going to try and get people to help me write an alternative issue of the newspaper with news items that they really want to see in the newspaper. I'm incredibly nervous. I've been nervous for weeks. This goes completely out of my comfort zone. I am normally at home with said dog, quietly not talking to people. If I'm with people, I'm generally in a classroom. Where I know who's going to turn up generally, and I know what we're going to do generally. And yes, I'm just hoping people come and help me do this. But yes, we'll see what will happen. It's all very exciting. I'm excited to go out to Porirua. I always love going out to Porirua. Porirua is just a couple of minutes north from Tawa, which is where Arahata Women's Prison is, which is a place that's dear to my heart. I go out there on a Thursday with William Brandt, and we write poetry and creative nonfiction and stories with the women that are there. So it'll be nice to be in Porirua. Porirua, city of the future. Porirua is the place where the first McDonald's was ever opened in New Zealand. Porirua was a thriving place for manufacture at New Zealand's heyday of manufacture. There was a car factory out there. Lane Walker Rudkin, which I think became Bonds, was out there. Could be wrong about that. But there were lots of factories out there, and it's a thriving place now too. Yay! So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I better get going so I'm not late. I'm going to meet Kerri-Ann Lee. We're going to go to an exhibition opening. Imagine that, on a Monday, exhibition opening. Superb. Ok, take care.
Comunque piacere Davide, ho 16 anni, facciamo un compromesso.
Hi there, my name is Moses Valiamui.
Hey Moses. Hey, this is an awesome exhibition. Can you talk a little bit about how it came together and
Oh right, sure. So this exhibition is all a part of the Strong Pacific Families 10 years celebration. And so they've had like 6 weeks of exhibition exhibiting, and every week they had a different island group. So there was Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Niue, and Tokelau was the last week. So that's our opening here today is they decided basically to have the contemporary artists to share their work, because there's lots of talented contemporary artists in Porirua, and so they decided on doing that. And so I've only been able to contact like a few of the ones that I'm close to, but there are lots of other Tokelauan artists around, And so there's about six artists altogether, and so they just shared all their different styles and mediums and so on.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it sounds like there's quite a long history of contemporary art, like contemporary Tokelau art in New Zealand. Like someone was talking a little bit about illustrations in school books and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
In the islands, some of the New Zealand, the company that they went back to the islands.
Yep.
I think it's under the Ministry of Education, but then they formed another group. That's why I forgot their name. So, but otherwise, it was originally Ministry of Education, and they went back to the islands and taught some of the Tokelau people so that they could do illustrations for their own books and so on. And so that one there is Foremo. So he was one of the original ones back in the 70s that was taught. And then, so from there, they did school books and illustrations, and then they also moved to like New Zealand, Australia, and Samoa, and now the original ones are based in Australia.
Cool. And some of your works here, can you talk a little bit about your work that's in the exhibition?
So my work is based on the slave trade that came through the Pacific Islands, and it came under the blackbirding. I'm not too sure why it was called blackbirding, but I mean that's the name that was given. And so basically it's about the Peruvian ships that came through in 1863. They took away all the able-bodied men from the islands, so the populations were, each atoll was under 200, and so they took away at least 50% of the able-bodied men, of the population, which is all of the able-bodied men really, and they only left women, children and elderly men. And so from that, I think lots of traditions were lost, and one of them I think would have been the tattooing, because we don't do tattooing anymore, but we did back in the 18th earlier anyway. And so so my work was based on that, and my theory was that when they took away the men, the tradition was lost for tattooing as well.
Yeah. And can you talk a bit about how you, can you remember when you decided to be an artist?
I'm a late bloomer, because when I was at school, even though I was talented at art, I didn't really think it could be a career. And so I just breezed through school, didn't really think about art, and even though I got good marks. And so when I left school, I was doing a whole lot of different jobs, government jobs, trade jobs, and I wasn't really happy with any of them, and I really had to decide, okay, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And the only thing I could really think of that would keep me happy was something artistic. So I didn't know what kind of artistic job, so I did a lot of different courses, visual communication design in Wellington, screen printing, and then I went to Whetere and tried the art course there, and it was really fine arts. And so I was in my mid-20s, I was like 26, when I decided to, and I really loved that Whetere, of course, and I thought, oh, this is me. I think I really want to express myself through fine arts, and so I did that. And I was a late bloomer. I only took it seriously in like my mid 20s.
Well, it's just beautiful. The exhibition's so great. Thank you so much. Thanks heaps.
All right, thank you, Pip.
The Strong Pacific Families exhibition that I talked to Moses about was being held in a shop that isn't leased at the moment in Hartham Place. Porirua has two kind of ways of shopping which have always kind of fascinated me. In Porirua there is a very big mall, and when I say mall I mean that kind of indoor shopping experience with sort of chain stores, artificial lighting, a food court. It always feels like sort of an encapsulated kind of Logan's Run, you need to never leave kind of place. Sort of the kind of mall that you'd probably find throughout New Zealand and probably all over the world. It's one of only two shopping malls like that in Wellington that I know of. And so that's often what people come to Porirua for, is that kind of mall experience. But there's one door in that mall that has always fascinated me. I'm sure there are more ways out of that mall than just this one door, but I always love to leave by this door, because when you sort of go past the sushi bar, past the nail bar, and walk out of this door, you find yourself in Hartham Place. And it's a very different kind of sort of shopping place. What sort of shops are in and that sort of area. There's quite a large emporium. There are a couple of emporiums where I've bought things like, I bought plastic flowers there, I've bought candles there. I think I've bought like children's colouring in things there. There's also a bakery, there's a dairy. There's a shop which imports products from Samoa. There's a shop where you can get kind of, I love it. There's kind of a hip hop shop where you can, you know, get your Wu-Tang Clan caps and that kind of thing. And all these shops are outside. There were some canopies up. There's a lot of controversy at the moment, or the week that we were there, there's lots of controversy about whether the canopies should stay up or stay down. Round the corner in Cobham Court, there is a table tennis table and some chairs to sit on and chat. There's a bar around there. So it's a very different kind of shopping experience to the mall. And what Teaser did through Letting Space, another project, is that they actually took over some of the shops in that part of the mall that are not leased at the moment. So the exhibition space was in a shop, and then round the corner in Lindley Place was the Teaser headquarters, sort of like the hub. That was in an old bar, so the bar was still there and the dance floor, and Porirua People's Library was next door to that in the area where the Pokies used to be. And you know, these are the kind of conversations that I think Teaser has, is sort of like, you know, they sort of seem to just make you want to think about capitalism and buying and selling, and you know, commercial spaces versus art spaces versus people's spaces. And one project that I think was really interesting about this was a project called ShareMart. When you look at it from the outside, when I walked in on the Monday, it just looked a little bit like an ordinary shop. There was a rack of clothes outside. When you went in, there were products sort of displayed, but there's some very different stuff going on in there. The rack of clothes at the front is actually sort of a swap mart kind of thing. You take in a piece of clothing and you can take away a piece of clothing. There are sewing machines at the back of the store where people are being taught skills concerning sort of repair and reuse. And there's an extremely interesting reuse project that took place in there. And yeah, I'll let them tell you about it anyway.
Ready. Okay. My name's Annie Bretherton. I'm assisting Vanessa on the ShareMart project, along with Jen Whitty as well. The idea is to take waste textiles, or repurposing corporate uniforms at the moment, and turning them to something new, repurposing them, repairing them, and making them work again for a second life.
Yeah, so they look amazing. Where does one start with repurposing? Like, do you need to sort of look at a garment and see what shape it is, or do you, yeah, like, I mean, how would one go about it?
It's a challenge sometimes, yeah. And it takes sometimes quite a bit of brain power. You have to unlearn lots of things. Like, if you're used to sewing traditional style with a pattern and flat cutting, you do have to rethink a little bit about what you're going to do, whether you're going to make it work as a garment. Say if you've got a shirt, are you going to remake the shirt or make it still function as a shirt, or are you going to make something completely different, like a bag, which is what Nettie's done here with these bags. She's taken old shirts and she's made shoppers out of them, and then another one of our helpers, Sylvia, has embellished them and embroidered them, which makes them a bit more special, a bit more personal.
Really beautiful. I can see that some of them sort of use the buttons that have come from the shirts as well, eh?
Yeah, and the collars and the cuffs.
Oh, yeah, see the handles are collars. Oh, they're cuffs.
Those are cuffs, those ones, and those ones there are collars.
That's incredible. Yeah. Why do you think, what's appealing about reusing garments?
I think that makes them really individual and unique. A lot of what you can buy in the shops is very trend based, and so if you want to be a little bit more unique, you have to sort of personalise things and make them your own. I think that's what appeals to me about this kind of thing, that you can have your own style and you can restyle things the way you like them. Yeah,
it's really cool. So some of the skills, it seems like you would need quite good sewing skills and stuff like that, and you've got lots of people working on sewing machines in here who look like they know exactly what they're doing. How have you got the people involved that are working on the sewing machines today?
A lot of these people have just popped in from walking past the shop, seeing the signs and some of the advertising, popped in and wanted to work here and do a lot of their own thing. So they've taken some of the corporate wear, the suiting, and they're just embellishing them and making them personal to them. So some of them have used sewing machines before, some are less experienced, and so we just try and help with that as much as possible.
Yeah. Sewing machines scare me. They're quite an interesting kind of machine, aren't they? Like, they just seem to rattle along, and they haven't changed a lot. I'm just looking. No. You've got like an antique singer over there, and there's not a huge difference, is there?
No, and no, there's not a huge difference in the way a domestic machine operates, but I guess the flashier you go, you can have a lot more sort of electronic type functions.
Yeah. This project really interests me because I'm doing a lot of reading at the moment about the fashion industry and the idea, the thing you were talking about before about this trend-based, you know, like things have such a quick turnaround with a lot of clothes, and it feels like such a good thing that you're doing here. Sort of after these garments have had one life, they get to have another life.
Yeah, they do. And it would be really great if those people designing those clothes or those first life clothes thought about what was going to happen to them afterwards, because then if they did a little bit more of that, this would make our job a lot easier, I guess. But yeah.
You're doing an awesome job. So what else is on for the rest of the week?
We are doing repurpose workshops for the first 3 days. So today, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then for Thursday we're doing some more DIY repair, so teaching people how to do their own repairs, more repurposing and styling and swapping, so you can swap clothes. We've got here clothes here that you can swap, do a one-on-one swap with, so you've got something you don't like anymore and you can swap with something that we've got here, and that's happening for the entire week. And you can even get your nails done and a bit of styling, so if you know, not comfortable with the styling of something, we've got people here that can help you with that, which,
that sounds really cool. I'm loving the swapping. I'm loving everything about this place. It's magnificent. Hey, thank you so much.
Okay, brilliant, thank you very much.
You can just say your name.
Lottie.
Hey Lottie.
Hi.
So what is your role here at Sharemart?
Well, I'm the shop manager, so I am greeting people as they come in and curious as to what is going on in this shop that's been empty, and just showing them what we've got to work with, all the New Zealand Post uniforms to repurpose. And we've had some very enthusiastic members of the public come in and sit down and start refashioning blazers and things like that. And we've also had lots of repairs coming in off the street, and, you know, hemming trousers and mending blazers and things like that where the seams have ripped somewhere, and patching those sorts of things.
What's your interest in this idea of repurposing garments? Like, why do you think it's an important thing to do?
Oh, well, I think it's great that we've saved all these uniforms from being sent off to the landfill, and it's good, really good quality cotton and merino that we have to work with. And, you know, I'm making a skirt with the waistband from an old merino top, and then the bottom half of a shirt which I've gathered, so that will be a small child skirt. So it's great just having a play and feeling free, and, you know, not being restricted by any patterns or ideas of what you have to produce, just seeing what is possible.
Yeah, so that freedom, what do you do when you're not here?
Mostly I'm at home with my daughter, who's sort of young, school age, 6-year-old, and I do a lot of sewing at home. And
because it must be strange. I was just, you know, like, not working with a pattern.
Yeah,
it must be quite exciting.
It is. I have a lot of patterns at home that I do use, but I of course didn't bring them down here and was invited to just start playing, and so I was quite a little bit nervous at first. And this has had many I've been working on it for a while. There have been many mistakes and things that haven't quite worked, and I've just cut them off and started again. So,
well, it looks beautiful now. This colour's a lovely combination.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing, I guess, is that with the garments as they are, you don't really get to choose your colours in a lot of ways, eh?
No, you're just faced with what you've got, and I was attracted to that dark green, so that was the only one that was there. So I just quickly picked that one off the shelf.
Nice. I'm kind of in love with the idea of a uniform being repurposed into a skirt. I love the idea that it's going to go to a playground. It's had a hard, serious life, and now it gets to go to a playground. That's really good. Hey, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah, I had such a great day on the Monday. I did just wander around because my project didn't start until the next day. I got to just hang out. And after I left Sharemart, I went down to the hub, the teaser hub. And it was great. Like I say, the teaser hub's in this old bar, and there was an incredible project by Barbarian Productions in the front window. They have a hairdresser who cuts hair for conversation. You don't pay this man, you tell him stuff. And then there was all sorts of activity. There were people on laptops. It's one of the most incredible places I've ever been. Oh, I'm just hankering for it now. People just came and went. And so, yeah, I sat down and had a chat with Faith and Lana and Kerri-Ann about the Porirua People's Library. And it was great.
Hi, I'm Faith Wilson.
Hey, Faith, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. A bit tired, but, you know, that's part of the thing of being alive, being a person.
It's so true. So, we are sitting in the Porirua People's Library. Do you want to talk a little bit about your involvement in this project?
Yeah. So, when Teza was asking for call-outs at the beginning, Lana Lopesi, asked if I wanted to collaborate with her on a project that involved publishing the people of Porirua stories. And I thought, yep, I'm into that vibe. So we did it. We applied and got our project was okayed. And then the people, teaser people, so Mark and crew, thought that would make a good pairing with Kerri-Ann Lee, whose idea was something about a library. So we ended up collaborating with Kerri-Ann Lee, and the Porirua People's Library was born.
It sounds really cool. So what appealed to you about Teza? Like, what was appealing about that?
When I read about what it was, which was kind of community involvement, you know, community-based art, which should respond to community needs, I thought, yeah, that sounds like something I'd want to be involved in.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about how your project does sort of work with the community and respond to those needs in the community?
Well, I don't, it's a bit tricky because I don't know if it necessarily does at the moment. We haven't really had, like, because it's the first week, this is our very first day of being open, I can't gauge whether or not we're going to have much engagement,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, there's, so I think it, in principle, it can be really good, but I don't know if it is yet, and I think that's because, like, we don't have that really close connection with the community because, I don't know.
It's kind of nice though, that idea of putting it there and there being space for it either to be taken up or not taken up, eh?
Mm.
Like, it feels nice not to be, because I'm sort of thinking the same thing with my project. I'm sort of like, you know, and I sort of think, it's really nice not to be pushing that on anyone. Like, I can see another sort of dimension where it's sort of like, you know, I've just seen some of the things that my daughter's been involved with where it's sort of like forced sort of engagement.
Yeah, I mean, I think I really would have loved more engagement, and I would love more engagement, but I don't know, because I don't have that, I think because I don't have that that connection with the community, I don't know how I can make it meaningful mm-hmm. to them mm-hmm. at the moment. And I think, yeah, again, this project definitely could, the People's Library definitely could, but you know, and I hope it still does, but I don't know yeah. at the moment if it is. Yeah.
So what's it been like being around here over the weekend and stuff? Like
really good. But like because we spent a lot of time, like Saturday was going, we had destinations to go to, so we went to the gardens, which was like a cool community over there. They do really awesome stuff. We went to the old Porero Hospital, which I actually found very emotionally taxing. Mm. Don't know if I would ever want to return there. Mm. It was really like psychically strong yeah. for me.
I can imagine.
Yeah. yeah. So I didn't want to spend, I couldn't actually spend too much time there. Like I actually physically reacted to the space. So we haven't actually spent like too much time with the community.
Yeah.
Or like not, I guess it's hard to say because there are so many different communities here. So we've spent lots of time with specific parts of the community, which has been really nice. Mm. And ideally I'd like to spend more time with other parts of the community during my week here.
I just realised I was going to ask a really dumb question. I was going to say, how does this kind of work, like how does this kind of work enlarge or, you know, talk to your work? And I was just thinking how weird it is that I'm thinking in those binaries, because I was thinking like, this is kind of my work, you know what I mean? Like I just suddenly thought yeah. it was really interesting that I was going to ask that, you know, because I know people often,
but that it's a fine question to ask.
Do you want to have a stab at answering it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess because I that's something I would have asked her, and then probably also had us been like, oh no, this is your work. But in respect to like my writing and then my like art practice, I think they're becoming more of a co-moving part. So my writing and my art practice are becoming less separate entities, and then I think they're kind of slowly melding into one. So I think this is definitely the first thing I've been as involved in, community project that I've been as involved in as I have, and I think if anything it's urging me to kind of do this sort of thing more, because I know what can be done and what could be done and what I'd like to do further.
Yeah, it's funny because I had exactly the same feeling. Like I was sort of thinking to myself, it seems to like hit things inside me that I always hoped writing at home by myself would, and they're just not, you know what I mean? Like they just don't, it just doesn't hit those same things. So yeah, I get really excited about when you talk about that, because I mean I think it does seem like an exciting way to progress.
And definitely, because when I often have trouble trying to reconcile my writing with what I feel like I should be doing, because I often feel like that writing for me is like reasonable. I'm like, how can it change? How can it make social change? How can I do that and write at the same time? And I think doing, and then I start thinking about art practice, and when you start doing stuff like this, it sort of becomes a form of social work. And I'm like, well, I'm not a social worker, but this is where I want to be. How to do that?
Oh god, yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. Yeah, like I mean, I often feel quite like when I want my work to be in community and change and that sort of thing, and then you know, to then do that instead, to try and make that happen in a room by myself, just seems crazy.
That's and because you also have, I mean, everyone does have, you know, selfish intentions with their art as well. And it's, I think for me, I'm just trying to I'm slowly growing out of them. Not entirely, because we're naturally human. But I think I'm becoming more socially minded in my practice.
Yeah, I think I hear you, and I think, you know, I feel forced by all sorts of pressures. You know, like it feels like changes seems to be more needed every day. It's quite wicked.
And I think I do, you know, I don't have children, I don't have a partner, I don't, like, it's quite easy for me to be able to just not have to make a lot of money. And I understand that other, like, not everyone has the luxury of just being able to do art that makes no money.
Yay, art that makes no money. It's my favourite kind of art. It really is. Hey, thank you so much.
Hi, my name's Lana Lopeski.
Hey, Lana, how are you today?
I'm good.
Oh, that's good. So we're sitting in the Pararua People's Library, and next door is the teaser space. And, yeah, you've been working on Pararua People's Daily Times.
Yep.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm really interested in how print publishing can work as a community agent, and sort of how things like newspapers and posters are forms of art that people don't need any training in, that sort of they already know how they're supposed to react to it and respond to it. And I think because of that, they can really break down some sort of barriers between art and community. And so what I'm doing is just trying to make as many hypothetical covers for the Pararua People's Daily Times as possible, just with imagery I can find from around the space, most of it sort of already community generated.
So can you talk a little bit about your connection to this particular, like, what excited you about this particular platform for doing a project like that in?
I was really I do a lot of social practice and community work and sort of working directly with various local boards and that kind of thing, and I was really interested to see what that platform could be if you're working with curators that, I guess, care about the same things. And watching Teaser from a distance in Christchurch, and then sort of having the chance to be a part of that from inside, I was just, yeah, I just wanted to know how other people operate within with sort of similar ideas and what it can be.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when I was driving out here, I was thinking it's kind of almost like, it feels almost like a really nice, I hate this word, but it feels like a conference or something. Like, it feels like you get to meet lots of cool people, and they're trying to, you know, their aims seem similar to mine, and yeah, it's really nice, eh?
Yeah.
So you've come down from Auckland, eh?
Yeah.
And what do you do up there?
I do a few things up there. I'm a practicing artist, but I also, my day job is working at Tautai, which is a Creative New Zealand funded organisation which supports and promotes the work of Pacific artists around the country. And I'm a mum.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you away from your kids or?
Yeah. My 1-year-old's with her dad for the week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, man, that is so cool. So this idea of sort of social engagement, why do you, like this, I have ideas about this, but why do you think art's important as part of a society or a community or stuff like that? Like, does it need to have a function or, yeah?
I come from Elim, so I come from a very academically trained art background, and think sort of the idea of the object and the object-based practice has its value as well. But why I'm interested in socially engaged practices is just I like to reflect what's around me and sort of... even, you know, if you go back to Renaissance painting, it was very much reflective of the times and sort of had very political ideals. And I think even the object within a white cube can be really political. So I just think we're at a time now where we're trying to find form for these ideas, which might be better than the object or might be more democratic. I think with social practice, what I really enjoy is the prioritising of the audience. My art making, I think, works backwards. where it's sort of like, who is the audience, who is the community, and then what can I do for them? And I really enjoyed that process.
Mm, that sounds awesome. Later tonight, you're doing a session on guerrilla publishing. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
I think it's... what I really like is the fact that I think everyone has really important stories. The shopkeeper who you see every day, who you might not think much of or have sort of more of a conversation with other than hi and bye, has something, I'm sure, really awesome to say, or has some kind of story that they might not think is a story. And so with the guerrilla publishing workshop, we were interested in just suggesting ways of doing that. And now with sort of the internet and blogs and all of that kind of thing, there's that whole element, but then there's also the sort of print revival. Mm. So how that can all happen, and you know, your platform doesn't have to be established in a traditional sense. It can just be as simple as putting pen to paper or typing something out, and that's just as valid a form of publishing as anything else.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So yeah, anything else?
No.
Hey, thanks for talking to me.
No worries.
Cool.
Hi, my name's Kerry Ann Lee, and I am part of the Porirua People's Library.
That's awesome. Thanks heaps for talking to me, and thanks for your awesome work this week. I was wondering why the idea of a library, like, what's that sort of about?
Well, I guess the library is, we're thinking about spaces like treasuries of knowledge, and places that bring people together, or rather, yeah, storehouses of media and stories. And we figured, yeah, this was kind of a nice framework to maybe challenge or work within and without. Yeah, that was our kind of thoughts around the library. Yeah, public spaces, it's sort of like what brings people in to a space, and do you even need a physical space, and what might a post-internet type of library be like when it's built by people around their stories and in different formats as well. So that's, yeah, there was a lot to explore with the idea.
Because that's one of the things I'm really interested in. You know, I think we met at the fundraiser for the books, and I was talking to a lot of people then about where paper sits in kind of like an internet age, and you know, the idea of radical or revolutionary kind of paper. And the library really has got quite a few paper objects in it now, and I just wonder about that, you know.
Yeah, you're right to sort of connect it to, there's a long tradition of print media, and people becoming the media themselves, and pamphleteering, independent press, and I think it's just to sort of even bring that back onto into the ground level in a community to see, people who are so immersed in screen-based information, whether or not, yeah, that could also be a good thing to come back to pen and paper for drawing and writing and sharing ideas, and looking at the form of what that could be. So we've had a few different workshops, like zine making was kind of like a really direct way of capturing and giving form to words and images and stories that people write, but as well as that, we've had poster workshops, so designing dream posters of what people might like to see in the library, and signage. So we've had a great crew of people, artists, designers, storytellers, media makers, to help kind of, yeah, float these ideas and work with whoever's up for it on the ground in Porirua to, yeah, capture their stories in those forms. And it's been really interesting to kind of just make that space, like create a dedicated space for that. It's off screen, and we call it slow media. It's kind of in that realm of slow everything, but it does slow down things in terms of that sort of rapid, voracious consumption of information on screen to something that's a bit more thoughtful and one-on-one and relational. So I think that's
Yeah, it's been a really interesting experiment, and those who are really up for it, like that leap of faith to engage and participate, have it's been really good. It's sort of the idea of building something together. It's been really fun.
Yeah, it's cool. What do you hope will happen? Do you have any further dreams for the people's labour?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it was a real challenge to come up with something that would be kind of presented within a sort of one-week hit at the end of November. We did a pilot at the end of October, and that was really useful in getting us started. But it definitely is around building ideas and how those ideas and forms morph over time. So definitely keen to keep activities going. So we've got our website online that people can check out, www.peopleslibrary.org.nz. We've been archiving the pieces that have been created on the ground in Pararua. So there's podcasts, there's documentation of zines, there'll be photographic images and various audio-visual type materials. So that'll be good. And it'll be good to kind of keep going in Pararua, I think, just because it feels like a lot of people are saying it's just getting started. So yeah, whether or not it's us or whether or not the core group kind of shifts and expands, so it'd be lovely for sort of new people to sort of take it up and roll with it. And then the idea of the People's Library really is something that I'd highly encourage other people to try and do in their other communities as well outside of Pororua. So taking the idea of an independent media collective that can generate stories and find some kind of repository for it, whether it be occupying a vacant space or a vacant shop or someone's garage or, I don't know, like a pop-up, like on top of a roof somewhere. Like, I think people can be really inventive with what that could be. Creating a spotlight for just bringing people together around building a sort of library of sorts, 21st century people's library. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kerri-Ann.
Cool.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
So on the Tuesday, I packed up all my stuff, went out to Porirua, and I was booked in to do the made-up times from 10 until 1 p.m. The way that we kind of, we sort of advertised the event was that the idea behind it was to create a version of the newspaper that had headlines and news that people wanted to see in it. You know, things that would make them happy, things that would make them feel satisfied. Just sort of a wish fulfillment kind of exercise, so that people would be able to have a document that kind of reflected the things that they hoped for. And I was always going to set up in Cobham Court, which is, as I said before, it's this area with a table tennis table. It's quite a communal area. People are coming and going a lot. But the day was not good. It was a very grey sky. There were winds blowing through. When I got to Porirua, it was quite windy in Cobham Court. But I decided to set up there anyway. And I'm really glad I did, because I just feel like it was a wonderful day. It was one of the best days I've ever had at work. Great day at work. And what happened was, the original idea with the project was I was going to set up a table with markers and pencils and paper and scissors, and people could design sort of fanzine style pages for the newspaper. But because of the wind and because people were busy, only a few people stopped and did that. There were some great people that stopped. But what worked better was me sort of talking to people and sort of almost being like a reporter on the spot. And I was set up there with some food to say thank you. I had some strawberries and, you know, that kind of thing. And I would simply say to people, you know, what would you like to see in the newspaper? What would make you happy if you opened the newspaper tomorrow? And people would tell me things, and we'd sort of talk about how that might happen magically or whatever. And we got a really... the thing that really hit me and kind of restored my faith in everything was that people really wanted things for other people. There were a few people that kind of joked about, hey, you know, I won lotto or something like that. But generally, people wanted an end to the things that largely affect bigger groups of people. There was just some incredible stuff, and it was quite moving. Sorry, feeling a bit moved, but that's how we worked that day on Cobham Court, and it was, like I say, it was quite incredible. So we had a great day. We got, you know, we put together some pages on that day, and then on the Wednesday I came in a little bit earlier because there were some school kids coming in. Me and Zach Mateo were set up back at the hub, and Zach took an amazing sort of drawing workshop for the kids, which was just fantastic. He'll talk about that. And I met this amazing woman who is also going to be in here. Daniela is very keen to be a reporter. She wants to be the type of reporter that has an opinion as well as interviews people. And I just, yeah, if you are out there and have a job for a reporter, you should just employ Daniela right now. She is just amazing. So you'll hear a little interview that Daniela did with me that I then hijacked to get some information for the made up times. So at the end of that, you'll sort of see how the made up times was put together.
Yeah, my name is Zachariah Mateo. I'm local artist in Porirua. I've been involved with TESA, it's the Porirua People's Library, since Monday. I've been called in to do a workshop with the students from Karina School, and that's the school that I've been and that's the school that I went to. And what we did was just basically, what we did was we just did like real basic line drawing. I'm drawing faces. And
it was quite a cool space, eh? Like, I was just thinking it was nice to be in that space with everyone working together, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah,
and
yeah,
the kids were amazing, eh?
Yeah, they're really amazing. Sure, a lot of them were. Yeah, it's just a natural talent. I can see that they were very, quite naturally talented, so I didn't really need to teach them much.
They were pretty onto it.
Yeah, they're pretty onto it.
They were real onto it. And you've got some woodcuts, like the actual wood that the prints are made from, eh? I saw those at the exhibition the other day.
Yeah, those are woodcuts that I've been, it's just a new medium that I've been working on throughout the whole year with Michael Tuffery, and we did, I've been like, collaborating with him, and been attending his workshop in March. So yeah, from then on we've been just been doing like workshops and murals together with the students.
Cool.
And projects in Porirua of different other colleges.
And you went to school here, right?
Yep, I went to Porirua College.
In Karina, right?
Yeah. Karina was my first school.
And did you come here when you were a baby?
I was actually born in New Zealand.
Yeah,
New Zealand born. Born and bred in Porirua.
Yeah, it's a good place, eh?
Yeah, it's really multicultural. Everyone gets involved. Everyone gets on well with each other.
I really
good
love
community.
It.
Community. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I don't want to leave. Stay local.
It's really good, and it's great that you've got because you know you can do all your art here and everything. Eh?
Yeah. It's got awesome facilities and Pātaka, Whetirea. Yeah, it's all open.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you're making a zine at the moment, though.
Yeah, I'm making a zine with Kiriyama. She's a pretty well-established designer or something like that. And yourself.
Yes, and me. Hey, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, thank you so much for interviewing me.
Hi, my name is Daniela Gibson, and I'm here with Pip from the community. I'm going to ask her a question today, and the question is, what are your opinions on the flag?
Well, I'm really glad you asked me because no one's asked me, and I feel a bit angry about that because I think it's very important. I do not want the flag changed, but I kind of do want the flag changed. So, yeah, I think it's very important though. What about you?
I think that I want the flag changed, and I have reasons why I want it changed, but then I have reasons why I don't want it to be changed, so it's a tricky idea. I just need to find out what benefits me more.
Yeah, decisions are hard to make, aren't they, like that? So tell me, I'm because I'm sort of on the fence, I'm really interested in some of your opinions. Can you tell me your opinion why you think the flag should be changed?
Well, on the I was on this website and it had like 30 countries who had the Union Jack on them, and then they had like a circle that identified them, but it was all the same, like everything was blue and everything had the Union Jack and everything had just a circle, just only one symbol of your country. But then most of them changed it into their own flag, which represented their own identity, and I don't like the fact that our flag's really close to Australian's flag, because one time Australia, they were having the soccer and they were standing for the national anthem, and then the Māori anthem came on and they had to sit through it and listen to it, and then the person's like, sorry, that was the wrong national anthem, here's the Australian national anthem, and they looked so disappointed.
See, that's a really good reason to change it. But you also said that you had some ideas you didn't want to change it. What are some of the reasons you don't want to change it?
Yesterday we had to write a speech about what our opinions on the flag were, and as I am now, I don't know what to do. But then I heard this girl's speech about, her name's Faye, I heard her speech about keeping the original flag, and it really persuaded me. She said that this was the flag that Sir Edmund Hillary put on the top of Mount Everest. This was the flag that Kate Shepherd fought for her rights. This was the flag that the All Blacks held when they won the World Cup this year, and when they won it in 2011. This was the flag that like all the teams have on their, like, you know those people in the stadiums,
mm-hmm.
yeah, how they
mm-hmm.
hold their New Zealand flag?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This was the flag that everyone puts up high and soars into the country and stuff. So everyone knows this flag and it's in all the books already. So, and New Zealand's getting more famous now, due to, like, I don't know if you know, but this dance group, and they're like performing. Yeah, yeah. They're getting more famous and everyone knows them because of this flag. So if they thought of New Zealand, they put that flag as a symbol. But if we just change it right now, then it would have to change everything, and we have to change all the books, all the posters. Even people who have symbols with that flag on them for their company, they have to change their company flags. And in the national anthem, it says the North Stars.
Mm.
So if we don't include that in our new flag, then it doesn't, like, connect to our national anthem as well.
And that kind of ties into your other point, eh? Because the thing is that, like, if people think the Australian flag's a New Zealand flag, and if they're looking for the New Zealand flag and now it's something different, they might see the Australian flag and think, wow, there they are.
Yeah.
Oh, you make a really good point. I'm still confused, though. I guess the one thing that I really like about the flag we've got at the moment is that it has got the Southern Cross in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people use the Southern Cross to get here, and I kind of feel like that's something that maybe does join us together.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what should I do? I've got to send my referendum in.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
what would you do if you had to do it tomorrow? Like, if it had to be in by 2? Which way are you leaning?
I'd probably just throw it in the bin if I could.
I think then I might maybe not vote, because I don't really know. And then maybe vote in the next one. I don't know. What's your favourite thing about school?
My favourite thing about school is when you, like, have you ever been in school and then there's this really good problem and you need to figure it out and it's like hooking you, and then I'm always that girl at like morning tea. I'm not like a geek or anything, but I'm always that girl at morning tea when the bell rings, everyone has to pack up, but I'm just like a few minutes more working on it, and then after that I have to pack up. But I like reading, because they ask us about poems and stuff and what it means, and you have to infer about it. And I like writing because you get to make up your own things.
Mm-hmm.
And like writing is kind of different for me now, because I always seem to write about things that are already happening, or like reports but in different ways, because that's what we're always asked to write about, but we never asked to write about creative things or make up things. And it's hard for me to make things up because like my imagination has reduced.
Mm.
And it used to be really big, because when you're little it's really big, and then when you're older it gets smaller.
That's so true.
Yeah, and that's why there are good authors, because they maintain their imagination and they keep it big.
Can I ask you a question to use your imagination just for a little bit? I'm trying to make up stories for my newspaper. What would you like to see on the news tonight? Like, if you could see anything on the news tonight, what would you like to see?
Something good or bad?
Whatever.
On 3 News, I would like to see a real, like this, just breaking news, because we never get breaking news. It's just always ads and ads. And I would just like this breaking news where all the terrorist people who attacked Paris get put in jail, but then, like, they get, like, turned around in, like, 5 minutes or, like, 10 minutes, and then they come out, and they're all different people, and they all say sorry, and then there's, like, this big-ass ceremony for all the Paris people and all the countries, and I wish there was, like, this big place that nobody knew about, and it was, like, not a country yet, and it was just a land, and all the countries came in, and it was, like, really big, and all the countries came in, and they all met each other, and you got lost, so you couldn't find anyone you knew. You had to make friends and stuff, and then in the end, we would all be friends in the end, because we would all know each other, and then we would all say, hey, do you know this person? And this person would go, yeah, I know this person, yeah, I know this person, yeah, I know this person, and you'll all go back all the way back to your normal friends.
Man, that is the best story. Can I put that in my newspaper? Can I type it out from this recording and put it in my newspaper?
Yep.
That'll be so cool. Hey, thank you so much. How are you going to sign off when you're a famous journalist?
I'm going to say, this is Daniella Gibson, talking to Pip. Remember my name. Good night. Or goodbye.
So, that was Porirua People's Library. That was in amongst the teaser that was held out at Porirua in November. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to Porirua. You rock. And to everyone that was involved, to all the people that helped out with the funding as well, that was important. And if you want to see the Made Up Times, there's a Tumblr of the Made Up Times, which I'll link to on our webpage, which is betterreadnz.wordpress.com. Thanks heaps for listening, and yay.